across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends here on the Civic Media Radio Network. 7:06, nice to have you along on this Thursday morning, August 8th, 2024. We ran out of time in the last segment before I could adequately do justice to the national day calendar, which reminds me that in the Up North News Daily newsletter today, all about the fact, Brittany Merlot and Greg Bach, that today is National Custard Day.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to sound so creepy. Sorry.
That was interesting.
Sorry.
Yes. So, in the newsletter, whether you're a creeper for custard or not, there are all kinds of ideas for places to go to celebrate National Custard Day. What is it that makes custard custard as opposed to ice cream? Who knows this little fun fact?
Is the powder, or it's like they use one ingredient versus the other, correct?
The law requires custard must have at least 1.4% egg yolks and be at least 10% butter fat. So, yeah.
Wisconsin, I wrote that law.
Of course.
Yep.
Of course. Let's see. There is in the newsletter the top 10 flavors of the day from Culver's custard. So here, should we go through these?
Yeah.
Turtle, mint explosion, caramel pecan.
Okay.
Chocolate eclair. Ooh, okay. Raspberry cheesecake.
Yeah.
Butter pecan. Yeah. Snickers swirl.
Yes.
Yes.
Andy's mint avalanche.
Maybe.
Caramel fudge cookie dough.
Yeah.
And chocolate volcano.
Ooh.
Yeah. I think we might have found our winner there.
Welcome to Custard Talk with Brittany, Pat, and Greg. A daily podcast.
that's the kind of reaction you get for something like, you know, National Custard Day. Contrast that with, you know, you're not going to get that for International Cat Day, although the cat ladies are definitely having their moment right now.
Yeah.
National CBD Day, National Pickleball Day.
Call your grandma.
Thing. It's National Wear Your Mother's Jewelry Day.
What?
Maybe grandma's jewelry if you're looking for, you know, an effect. National Odie Day. Does anybody remember Odie?
From
the little dog from the Garfield comic strips?
I love
Garfield. Yes. National Odie Day. Let's see. Happiness Happens Day. Okay, whatever. National Sneak Some Zucchini Onto Your Neighbor's Porch Day.
Which
qualifies as domestic terrorism. I don't know why we would do that. Yeah.
You hear what happened to old man Kreitlow? He's sneaking zucchini on porches again.
Right.
Why are we picking zucchini? What the heck?
Because it's awful.
Yeah, it's just not good. When people, you know what, like, oh, I made you something. What'd you make? I made zucchini bread. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh,
thanks.
Okay, I thought we were friends. All right. And of course, National Sandwich Month rolls on, and Alicia Saunders jumps right in that. Today, she's throwing out a club sandwich with extra mayo, extra tomato, light on the lettuce, onions, oregano, basil.
I am a Jimmy John's, I'm a picky orderer from Jimmy John's. It's got to be a custom order.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. They don't mind that. No. They say have it your way.
Just want the sprouts back, though.
Yeah.
Oh.
Miss the
sprout. I'm a sprout lover. I don't know.
They've added pickles as a topping now, like sliced pickles. They didn't used to have them.
Ooh.
I know.
See, we cover it all. We do sandwich chat. We do custard chat. You know, we're all good. We should probably chat weather because there's still some rain across parts of Wisconsin. Yesterday, very sunny for the longest time. Not a cloud in the sky. As you can tell, those of you watching on video, by my extremely red face right now. I have adjusted the lighting in here as best I can so that it does not look like I'm the Lewis Black anger character from the Inside Out movies. I am that close to looking just like him. It was a beautiful day, Brittany, but sunny just the same. And now we got a little rain.
I know, the opposite right now. Cloudy skies for a good chunk of the state. Rain working its way southeast as this cold front sweeps through. Now, nothing is really heavy downpours. It's just a light, annoying rainfall. So you are going to want to make sure you have that umbrella with you this morning. But otherwise, we are going to see more and more sunshine peeking out from the northwest as we go through this afternoon. And more clouds pushing into the southeast as this works its way across. So again, I'm thinking rain probably down further south and towards the Milwaukee area from about 12 to 4-ish. Then the whole system is gone and everyone will start to see some sunshine to end the day. Highs will be in the low 70s further north to the upper 70s further south in the state. And the winds aren't going to be moving too bad either. So just a little damp and dreary today. But after this, nothing but sunshine, cooler temperatures, though. Tomorrow's going to be quite a fall-like crisp day.
All right. We could go with that. That's all right. I think some people would really like that. For example, there's Rob here who says, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 61 degrees. We had a very colorful sunrise this morning. I hope things get better. It was a tough day yesterday with lawnmower breakdowns. Hopefully things get better today. He says he's been getting some lightheaded spells lately.
Come on, Rob.
But then also reminds us the voice of Garfield was also the voice of Carlton the Doorman on the old Rhoda TV show.
And so. His name was Lawrence Music.
That's right. Oh, was it Lorenzo?
Oh, is it Lorenzo?
Lorenzo Music. Yeah. And so we, Lorenzo, Rob. Yeah. Rob, we want you to just take good care of yourself.
Yes.
So, you know, we got Brittany's right here. She's got that forecast, those days when you got to stay hydrated.
Yeah.
And which, frankly, is that's a good tip for every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Truly.
Yeah. Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. 7:13 right now, and we've been talking a bit about the rally yesterday with Vice President Kamala Harris and with Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, her running mate. 12,000 people were there. As part of the, let's just say, the experience of being there for hearing the presumptive Democratic nominee and the likely Democratic nominee for vice president. And we played a few clips last hour. I want to play one more clip from Vice President Harris and then some voter reaction clips from Selena Heller. Selena was out there with me as well. It's quite an experience covering something like this. I put a little TikTok video together showing, you know, you've got to wait in these super long lines. And then, you know, if you've seen the risers, kind of like the grandstands where the TV cameras all are, and there's so many TV cameras and everybody's up there. And then if you're not TV, you're in this tent behind the riser. So you don't have a view of the stage or anything like that. You're just listening. You're watching on a monitor. You occasionally wander out to see things and to talk to people. And the folks on those TV risers, just like the people in the crowd who are up in the grandstands, I felt for them, man. They were there hour after hour in the sun. Part of it is because you've got to get there early for, you know, a Secret Service sweep. And, you know, I understand that. But I'm also understanding Melissa Kay talked to, she tried to go to the J.D. Vance event in Eau Claire, but they wouldn't let her in. They said it was for closed registered people only. And Melissa saw like there was at least one person, if not more, who had pre-registered as J.D. Vance supporters, and they didn't let them in. They said it was a very closed, very private event. You could tell by the TV coverage. Just a few people were in this particular workplace, and J.D. Vance gets asked about, you know, who do you... Why should people have a beer with him? And everything was about immigrants. Immigrants, I mean, you ask him about anything, and he brought it back to immigrants. So I guess we know what his campaign strategy is. But, you know, that was also part of the reason that people were waiting as long as they were. You know, Melissa talking to somebody connected with security who said that because the Trump-Vance campaign is also basically stalking, you know, Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, and had an event in Eau Claire at the same time, it led to a delay at the Chippewa Valley Airport because you have both Air Force Two landing and all the security concerns there, and then J.D. Vance's plane landing, and then J.D. Vance pulling a stunt on the tarmac, walking over to Air Force Two to talk to reporters over there to say, well, this is going to be my plane someday. All of this delayed the whole motorcade that eventually led to the rally in Eau Claire. So, I mean, there were all kinds of reasons why people were waiting a long time, but let's definitely not let the Trump-Vance campaign off the hook for that one. When they finally did take the stage, Vice President Harris talked at length about how this needs to be a forward-looking campaign. You heard the crowd cheer repeatedly, "We're not going back, we're not going back." And people don't want to go back. They want to be looking ahead. And so here she is talking about when she was at the airport, you know, she wasn't pulling a stunt. She was actually meeting with some kids and other supporters out there.
I'll tell you, about an hour ago after I landed on Air Force Two, I met a collection of young leaders from Girl Scout Troop 3307. Oh, they were spectacular. Oh, they were spectacular. None of them high, taller than 3 feet. They were spectacular. And one of those young leaders had a shirt on that said, "You are powerful and your voice matters." Right? From the mouths of babes, they're telling us. They're telling us.
There were all kinds of T-shirts there that people had made or had ordered, and many were, you know, T-shirts in support of Kamala Harris, but many others had these kinds of positive affirmations on them, you know, about the future or about women or, frankly, about, you know, childless cat owners and things like that. People had a sense of humor about what they were doing, and it was a happy event, something that we have not been able to say about the Trump-Vance campaign to this point one bit. The Milwaukee Brewers have been on a bit of a tear here. Blake Perkins went 3 for 5. He had 3 RBIs. The Brewers had 16 hits again last night in an 8-5 victory over the Atlanta Braves. Joey Ortiz, 3 for 5 with a double and 2 RBIs. And so your first place Milwaukee Brewers are still leading the National League Central Division by 6 games over the Cardinals. Gary Sanchez was 2 for 5, 2 runs and an RBI. Jackson Churio had 3 hits. Rhys Hoskins had 3 hits. The Brewers in all had 24 base runners. Did they use up all their energy? Let's find out later today, actually later this morning. The Brewers have a matinee of sorts. First pitch is at 11:20 Central Time in Atlanta. The pregame is at 10:45 on WRCE in Richland Center, WRJN in Racine Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WISS in Oshkosh. A little Thursday morning baseball for the Brewers. We'll talk more about the Harris and Walls rally coming up in a bit. Wherever you're listening across Wisconsin on this beautiful Thursday morning, when you're here, you're up north live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network. From today's history lesson, a little earlier this morning, the movie Xanadu came out this day in 1980. After the rally in Eau Claire, both Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz boarded Air Force Two and headed off to the Detroit area for a rally. Listen to these crowd sizes. There were 12,000 in the arena in Philadelphia, another 2,000 in an overflow area. There were 12,000 folks at the Eau Claire rally yesterday, and there were about 15,000 people crowding this airport hangar to welcome Air Force Two and the Harris-Walz ticket. This was something that, again, you could sense the energy that was in the room. The response was certainly good news for a campaign that wants to make sure that Michigan stays in play, because, frankly, almost any presidential campaign these days needs to pick up Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania, or at least make sure of your margins in places like Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada. Why are tens of thousands of people showing up to places like this? Well, Selena Heller went around the crowd in Eau Claire yesterday and talked to many, many voters. This is just a small sample of some of the, you know, individual feedback that people are giving about the 2024 presidential race and how upbeat they sound now, that are going to be parsed out across the Up North News social media platforms in the coming days. But here's a little bit of some of Selena's conversations with voters.
Here at the Harris-Walz rally, there are a lot of different people from a lot of different backgrounds and careers. And Holly is a 25-year-old teacher here in Eau Claire. Holly, what's important to you?
Education and human rights for all, whether somebody in the U.S. is a woman or a part of the LGBT community or not, they deserve the same rights as everyone else.
Maya and Lander here are at the Harris Walls rally, and they are going to be first-time voters this year. Lander, why are you excited to vote this year?
Well, it's the first year I really get to represent what America stands for, democracy. I get to go out and put out my own voice that I support Kamala and Walls, and I think they're the best candidates for the presidency.
Childless cat ladies have a lot to say about the campaign, and Rhonda is from Wisconsin Rapids.
Actually, for the first time in a long time, we've had a lot to laugh about. I think that J.D. Vance bit off a little more than he could chew when he criticized childless cat ladies running the country and being out of touch. There's nothing that could be further from the truth, and we are all feeling inspired about the fact that there's hope for the future. We've got a sense of humor again, and we are totally supporting Harris and Walls. I was just charmed by Tim Walls poking a little bit of fun at Vance and letting him know that he had really messed up.
Well, he really did. And I really appreciate that it is, rather than just a sense of anger or resignation, that all of these folks are saying, yeah, this is something we can poke fun at. Like I said last hour, there was a woman there who had the kitty cat ears and a tail and a big sash across that said meow on it. Plenty of other cat related t-shirts on there. Because you win elections by appealing to people, by appealing to certain groups. You don't win elections just by saying to your base, aren't all those other people terrible? Aren't they worth less? We talked about this as part of what's in the Up North News Daily newsletter today as well. We don't just talk about National Custard Day. We've got some other stories in there as well, including, J.D. Vance, not exactly a big fan of one person, one vote. He would say multiple times that people with children should have greater power at the ballot box, that's his idea of a pro-family agenda, is that children would also get a vote that their parents control. So Sherry and I have two daughters. I don't know if that meant that I have three votes and Sherry has three votes, or if you're both there. I mean, if you're married filing jointly, do you only get half of your kids' votes? Let's just say he actually meant if you personally have children, you get extra votes. So I have two daughters. So I have three votes compared to somebody who doesn't have children. I don't get the sense in it, and I don't know why you wouldn't say that the first time out loud and go, ugh, I should walk that back, or I should think that through. That, again, is their definition of being family-friendly rather than, health care, paid family leave, health care coverage for women postpartum, expanding Medicaid, making sure our schools are well-funded. I mean, there's no shortage of ways you can be family-friendly without trying to take democracy away a bit from people who don't have children. It doesn't work that way. What a different time we live in, though, when you have people on the Trump side saying they're concerned about election integrity. They don't want, for example, convicted felons to vote. When there's a convicted felon at the top of the ticket, what a different time it was compared to 50 years ago tonight. 50 years ago tonight, I was a 10-year-old kid, a bit of a news junkie, had to read the St. Paul Dispatch every evening. Banner headlines about Watergate, prior to that about, the Vietnam War. And I didn't get all the intricacies of Watergate, but I understood the president was doing something wrong. There'd been televised congressional hearings. And the entire nation was gathered around TVs for an Oval Office address by Richard Nixon when it became apparent with the release of the so-called smoking gun tape that he'd recorded himself in the Oval Office that showed he was part of the cover-up of the Watergate scandal. And Republicans in Congress had enough honor to tell him, and he had enough honor to do the following.
I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
It was an earthquake. It was not fully unexpected at that point. In much the same way, as if Donald Trump had the honor for either one of those two impeachments to address the nation from the Oval Office and say, I did attempt a shakedown of the Ukrainian leader for partisan purposes, and that was wrong. Or I did, in fact, try to steal this election, and I did encourage a violent mob to attack the Capitol, and I wouldn't have been sad if they would have actually found and murdered my vice president. And so, therefore, I shall resign the presidency. But we don't live in that era now. We live in an era where if a politician of a certain stripe is caught doing something wrong, what's the phrase you hear all the time now? They double down. Oh, they doubled down on it. J.D. Vance doubled down on his childless cat lady's remark. Donald Trump doubled down on saying that call to Georgia to find me 11,780 votes or whatever it was, saying it was a beautiful call. He said it was a perfect call, just like his call to the president of Ukraine when he was trying to blackmail him, withholding military aid when Russia was breathing down their backs on their borders. And of course, Russia would later invade, because Trump had sent signals during his time in office that, you know, this would not be a united United States. It's a different era that we live in now. But thankfully, with crowds like what we've seen in Eau Claire yesterday, in Detroit last night, that you'll see in Arizona and in Las Vegas later, maybe we can turn that corner again. I'm not saying all that honor can be restored. I'm not saying it's kumbaya, but I'm saying people are, in fact, voting for a better future. State Representative Deb Andraca will talk about voting for that better future as well in our Women Win Wisconsin segment next. You're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, 7:34 on this Thursday morning, August 8th. It's time for Women Win Wisconsin, powered by Motherhood for Good. Nicole Slavin is here, and Kate Duffy may be joining us shortly. Nicole, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Pat. How are you?
Good, good. Do I detect a little color in your face as well from yesterday's bright, sunny day?
Just a little bit in a fun countryside outdoor setting in beautiful Eau Claire. Yes, Chippewa Valley was really showing off yesterday.
You came up from La Crosse for this.
Yes, I did. Yeah, it was a good day for driving probably a little faster than I needed to get there, but it all worked out in the end. I somehow magically whizzed past some of the lines of traffic. I kind of wound my way in on back roads as much as possible. And so, well, I think I avoided the beast of traffic.
Some of the long waits that some people had. And you and I were both saying we saw afterwards so many people that we know were there, but we didn't know until we saw the Facebook posts. We have to do a meetup next time that there's something like this happening. All right, Kate Duffy, who we'd love to pick on for being a young mom and is not always on the same time schedule as everybody else because, you know, somebody is having a tantrum. Sometimes it's the mom themselves. Kate, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for your patience.
I'm trying to work on not apologizing
as much, which is
you don't have to. Again, Nicole talks about having teenagers. You know, mine are in their 30s and they still do things, but we have fun at all levels of the parenting scale. Is that a Motherhood for Good hat that I see on you?
Yes.
Oh, time to talk swag. Motherhood for Good on Instagram.
And also, you know, again, mom life this morning in a rush. I'm like, oh, I better throw a hat on. Mm-hmm. So yes, if you, like me, are running late and need to throw a hat on sometimes, we've got Motherhood for Good hats for you in the shop.
That is awesome. Well, let's see. Nicole, so you were at the rally yesterday. Any impressions that you want to share? And then we'll introduce our guest.
I'm an old, jaded old lady. Like, it takes a lot to knock my socks off. And I will tell you, I walked out of there dancing and singing and excited. I cried a couple of times. It's so full of hope, and the energy is contagious. And I don't know. It was it's something special is really happening, and it's so exciting and desperately needed. But yeah, it just feels different and so positive and exciting.
And I don't think we would have got to this point if it hadn't been for people that were laying the groundwork.
Yes,
and that really includes this morning's guest, who has brought something much more positive to, you know, the legislative caucus in terms of messaging and letting people see themselves, which would include parenting and teachers and everything else, Kate. So I'll hand it to you to introduce Deb to us.
Yes. Hello. Good morning. We're so excited to have Deb Andraka with us this morning, who is running for re-election in the 23rd Assembly District. We've been big fans of Representative Andraka for a while. She's a former Moms Demand volunteer, which is very near and dear to our hearts and many people in our community. Does so many wonderful things in the state legislature. We love watching clips of her holding Republicans' feet to the fire on the floor. It is one of our favorite things. So Deb, thank you for joining us this morning. We're so happy to talk to you.
Well, thanks for having me on today. And it's a mutual admiration society. So I love the work that you're doing, and thanks for being out there and just being moms out there. So we need a lot more of us.
Without a doubt. Can you start by telling us, because we've got new maps, of course, which everybody's good with, but it does add, even for incumbents, it adds, you know, a little extra dimension as the lines shift. So tell us about your district.
Sure. Well, my district is the 23rd, and so it's the northern Milwaukee suburb. So that's Whitefish Bay, Fox Point, Bayside, River Hills, Brown Deer, Mequon, and Thiensville. This in 2020 was when I first ran for office. It looked a little bit different. And I was one of just two candidates that year to flip a district, three overall, myself and now Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. And so it was tough. It was a big race. And we have seen the maps change since then. The big change that voters need to know about right now is that we finally have fair maps. And we finally have people running on maps that are competitive. So we're not just going to see one or two districts flip this year. Hopefully, we're going to see a dozen, which will completely redo what the legislature looks like and what we're able to get done.
I love that. And that we keep talking about that a lot. There's so many opportunities for people to get engaged and make real impact this cycle with the Wisconsin State Legislature. Sometimes with politics, it's like a ship. You turn 2 degrees and it takes a while to steer it. But like right now, we can actually get out there and flip the state legislature and make this happen. So can you talk to us a little bit about what you're hearing when you're out there talking to folks and what they are caring about, what they're excited about, what you're kind of planning to, you know, take to, again, to Madison in another session?
People are so excited. They're excited about this new ticket. They're excited about our new maps. We were just looking at the state legislature for a minute. I mean, before we flipped two districts, it was a big deal. Now we can flip more than a dozen. But what that really means, and what I like to explain to people when they're asking me why this is such a big deal, is that there's so many issues that we know are popular with the majority of people in the state, whether that's Medicaid expansion, marijuana legalization, abortion rights, better gun laws, all of these things a majority of people want. And we've never been able to get them a public hearing, let alone a vote, just a public hearing. And if you can't have a public hearing, let the public weigh in, bring in experts, you can never reach compromise and you can't make any progress. So this week on social media, on my official side, we've launched a campaign called Never Had a Hearing. It's hashtag Never Had a Hearing, where we're highlighting some of these bills that we know people like. We know people want to see the legislature do, but they've never been able to see the light of day. And hopefully when we get a legislature that's closer to what Wisconsin actually looks like, we'll be able to have not only public hearings, but perhaps pass some of these widely popular bills.
That's such an incredible idea. And I think it goes to the fact a lot of people, particularly if you're not following, you know, a lot in politics, you just assume this stuff is being discussed and voted on. And there's so much that has just never been touched. One of the things in particular, and I know you're passionate about, is common sense gun laws or some sort of gun reform. And I can say yesterday, you know, that topic came up quite a bit at the rally in Eau Claire. And I think with Governor Walz, you know, in his background, he's somebody who's very like-minded with us here in Wisconsin of, yes, you have the right to hunt and, you know, do all of those things. But there's also another side of being a responsible gun owner. So I'm curious if you're seeing anything or hopeful there that we might be able to maybe have potential to move that discussion forward a little.
Absolutely. So I ran for office partly out of my frustration in the classroom. I was working as a substitute teacher and had to go through lockdown drills. I had two kids in schools. They had to go through lockdown drills. And we all know the impact that that had on our kids and just and needing to go through all that day after day. It really wears on kids' mental health. And so the more I looked into it, the more I was like, well, if all of my neighbors agree that we need better gun laws and we need safer communities, why aren't we making any progress? So I called my state rep and was like, we need to do something about this. Kept talking to him. He ignored me. And so I started diving into work with Moms Demand Action for Gun Sense, started bringing some volunteers to the state capitol. And I like to tell people, the more you get to know the people inside the capitol, the more you're like, if he can do that, I could do that. So I ran to try to make a difference. Since I was elected in 2020, though, we haven't been able to have a public hearing. I know there are Republicans who agree that we need to take more, we need to do some better work on getting common sense gun laws passed, background checks on all gun sales, extreme risk protection orders. But again, they are protected because we never have public hearings, so they never have to take a tough vote. So I'm optimistic that going forward, we can get some more support once we get to public hearings. And people understand. One of the reasons I'm really excited about Governor Walz is because he's a hunter. He, is a responsible gun owner. I am a gun owner. I have my concealed carry permit, but all we hear about are gun rights. We never talk about gun responsibilities. So I'm optimistic that Governor Walz can help broaden that conversation to bring people on board that common sense gun laws mean that we retain our Second Amendment rights, but we're all safer for it.
What perfect framing of rights and responsibilities. They go hand in hand. And another theme related to that is a theme around freedom. And this is something that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz have really been hitting, the freedom to be free from gun violence, the freedom to vote and not have your vote suppressed, the freedom to love and marry, the freedom to not have government interference in your exam room, the freedom to read and not have to face book bans. And Representative Vendraca, I think that freedom frame is resonating with folks.
Yeah, we want people to be able to exercise their Second Amendment right. No one is trying to take that away. But at a time where firearms are the number one cause of death among children now, this is a relatively new statistic, something needs to be done. And the fact that we're continuing to ignore this in the state of Wisconsin, it is just abhorrent. I mean, we have seen over and over again, the data shows that states that have stronger gun laws have lower rates of gun deaths. And 60% of Wisconsin gun deaths aren't homicides, they're suicides. So there are so many different fronts to this problem, and we refuse to tackle any of them. So it's time for us to elect officials, and we can do this now with our new fair maps. We can hold our representatives accountable. So if they're campaigning on an issue and it's not getting addressed, we can finally vote them out of office because they're not protected by a gerrymander.
Yeah, and I think, Pat just talked about freedom, and what you're talking about too also relates to family values. And I think Democrats have really wonderful policies and haven't always had the best messaging to drive it home. And I'm so excited that this cycle is like, we're taking back freedom. We're taking back family values. These are the things of the Democratic Party, and these are what are going to help people's families. And I think I want to say something really quick on this whole kind of common sense gun reform thing, because I think a story that's been big recently is Governor Walz used to have an A rating from the NRA and used to be a bit more moderate and vote in that. And he has since made, an evolution on his thoughts on gun reform, which is really, really important that we recognize that. And somebody sent me a message last night saying, one of my biggest takeaways from this is that his teenage daughter spoke up at home and changed his mind, and he is changing policy that affects so many people as a result. Never underestimate the conversations you're having, including and especially with a teenager. And I just wanted to point that out because you don't have to run for office to make change. If you're just talking to the people in your life about these things, you have no idea how far those conversations can go. Is that kind of your experience?
I can compare and contrast that with my own family. So when my kids were younger, we went to town halls with my then state rep and my then state senator, and my teenage daughter and her friends spoke up, and they were talking about lockdown drills. They were talking about the need for better gun laws. Well, what was their, my Republican rep's response? They stopped having town halls. So you can just see the contrast there, where, you know, one legislator says this is something we need to take seriously because kids are bringing it up, and another stops listening to kids. And so that's partly why I'm so excited just about this ticket and about just the momentum and the joy that we're all experiencing right now. Quick story. Yesterday, I brought my younger daughter to cast her first vote, and she got to vote for her mom. She is so excited to cast her second vote for the first woman president of the United States. So there's just a lot of hope. There's a lot of excitement, and we're seeing that in young people. I'm seeing it. I saw it yesterday in Eau Claire on TV. I'm seeing it in my own household. So we're all full of optimism, and I just can't wait.
It really comes back to something that Joe Zepecki said in our last hour. Free advice for our Republican friends and neighbors. Touch grass. Stop being online all the time and just dealing with the anger and the talking points. If you're talking to kids, if you're listening to your constituents, if you're actually outside in the real world, you're going to have a different viewpoint than if you're just in this bubble that far too many people in politics are in. Now, of course, there's also an election coming up in, next week, next Tuesday. And if we had more time, I'm sure that Representative Andraca could have a lot to say about Republicans withholding state funds, much less what they do if they could withhold federal funds. But we'll save that for another time. There's much to cover between now and Election Day. State Representative Deb Andraca, thank you so much for being part of Up North News Radio this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for all the great work that you do. And let's get more moms out to vote.
Absolutely. All right, Kate, Nicole, we'll talk to you next week as well. Thanks so much for everything. Look at what they do over at Motherhood for Good. Is it motherhoodforgood.com, right?
You got it.
And Motherhood for Good on Instagram. Thanks you to all of you. When we come back, Luke Mathers will help us wrap things up on a busy Thursday morning here on Up North News Radio. Here we go. Never get out of this maze. You'll 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 never get out of this maze. Greg.
Yeah.
Greg, your record's skipping. Greg, your record is skipping.
Oh, no, it's not.
Oh, no?
It's
no?
The beautiful dulcet tones of Vermont's own fish.
Oh, okay. Is Luke a fish fan?
No, I am, though. I decided.
Oh. Okay. A little producer prerogative. All right. This is the part of the program where we take you behind the scenes of radio, especially when you're trying to do live radio from remote locations. And God bless Luke Mathers, who, along with Aaron Zommers, kept a cool head about them as the signal from Mr. Alba's attempt at programming from Eau Claire. Shall we just say it ebbed and flowed? And so occasionally Luke and Aaron would have to jump in when the signal would go away. Mr. Mathers, good morning. How are you feeling the day after Adventures in Technology?
I'm feeling good, Pat. Every day is an adventure in technology around here.
There's no doubt about that.
Par for the course. Yeah. That's really what it is. So
oh, I know.
Day on the golf course.
Yep. It reminds me, and it's not just, it's not just startup radio networks like this one. When I was working at TV 13, which had been around 50 years at that point, remember something was not working. I can't remember the equipment anymore, but it was mounted against the wall of this older building, and some repair guy was brought in, and we hear him back there, and he comes out with an old pair of what I can only feel was like it was gym shorts. It wasn't underwear. It was gym shorts, old and covered in dust and everything. And he says, "Does anybody know what this is besides the problem?"
What?
I'm like, how did some old gym shorts get stuffed into this piece of equipment? Did somebody throw it at the wall and it fell in or what? So every day can be an adventure in technology. Mm-hmm. And the thing I wanted to make sure I expressed was that as frustrating as it was to Todd Alba to be there, it was nothing that he did or the equipment that was there. The cellular coverage in that part of town, the Chippewa County town of Wheaton, just north of Eau Claire, has historically been, for lack of a better term, here it is again, Greg, because I learned it's you can say it on the radio, craptastic. It's been awful. And so they did bring in you know, Wi-Fi. They set up a Wi-Fi system. But when you had something like 100 reporters, you know, tapped into that thing, I mean, the deck was stacked against us from the very beginning, getting a signal out of there. But God bless Todd for trying, and you for trying to, you know, keep a show going.
We were pretty nervous before the show kicked off. And for the most part, for the first hour of the Todd Alba show yesterday, we had a pretty decent connection for what we thought our tests were going to actually allow us to do. And so I think, Pat, once it was your turn to hold the bunny ears, the fault might have been your own. But actually, I think truly what affected it is you see a lot of media coverage when the traveling press pool showed up. I have a feeling that there was a little bit of coincidence. I don't know for sure if that was what caused it, but the fact that there were already a lot of people there, I believe the campaign estimated 12,000 folks in attendance there in Chippewa, or excuse me, in Eau Claire yesterday. And so when the traveling press pool, which brings just even more reporters and staff and everything else that comes with it, that's about the time that we lost the connection with you guys. So we were excited that we were able to keep the coverage going. Trigvi Olsen was a really great sport. He kept helping out with the special coverage. Terry Bell, our news director, in the studio as well. And we definitely had a good event. But it is one of those things where we are now going to look into even more possibilities of how to get some remote internet to places that aren't so friendly to us when we want to cover them.
And you're thinking, well, why were all the TV signals coming out so nice? Because they had satellite trucks. They used satellites, not cell phone towers. And all I could envision was Todd Alba doing the old Al Franken bit from Saturday Night Live. And let's mount a little satellite dish on his head, you know, and a, like a backpack, you know, with a receiver or something. Because the guy wants to keep doing these remote broadcasts, and I think that's great. But you're right. We need to find, you know, the technology. There's always room to do more cool things. But also behind
the scenes.
I want
rural broadband. That's what we need. Just rural broadband everywhere.
I mean, that brings up just a great conversation right there.
Yeah. Yep. It is it is a shame that these communities that are vital to our state do not have the basic ability to run high-speed internet out to them. And so it's definitely an aspect of what we need here in Wisconsin, and I think in rural areas around the country. It just goes to show, it's like there are important areas that have these not entirely a black hole, but definitely very spotty cell coverage that could be a game changer if all of a sudden high-speed broadband was brought out to these places.
Well, and then we wouldn't have to send all of our money to Elon Musk, because while Tony notes on YouTube here, he says, I use Starlink, and they have a new mini one for traveling, and that's fine. It works and everything, but like, that guy needs any more of our money, you know? Especially given how he can control that thing. It's like, I don't know. Let's improve rural broadband instead. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, sure, Starlink for a potential stopgap until we can get there, but definitely the resource shouldn't be just a billionaire, the richest man in the world, figuring out his satellites and making more money off of us. It should be a treated what it is essentially as a basic good and delivered to these communities. And so we've looked at several options. Starlink was one of the ideas thrown around yesterday in the brainstorm of how we can solve this problem in the future. But long term, we really do need solutions like broadband for all of our communities, not just in major cities.
And that's how Luke Mathers launched his campaign for governor in 2026. So stay tuned for more of what Luke is promising to rural Wisconsin.
Hey, man, three-term Tony's throwing out that term out there. I don't want to even mess with three-term Tony.
No. Let's not do that at all. Tomorrow, I will play comments from an interview I did at the rally with William Garcia, who is the chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democrats and the La Crosse County Democrats. And so I just want to put that marker out there that I did talk to him. You notice that, you know, Katrina Shanklin and Rebecca Cook and Eric Wilson were not given speaking slots because there is a primary going on there. But he was sounding extremely confident that whoever emerges from that primary, everybody will rally around them. And that's the kind of unity that you get from doing an event like this. It only exacerbates the need to stay focused on the task ahead. The rally did a lot of people a lot of good, Luke.
Yeah, and similar remarks at that final third CD forum that was held in Eau Claire last month. Very much, we've seen the campaign there in the third CD heat up a little bit in recent days, but definitely there is a desire from the community there to get behind one candidate after the primary next week. And folks, you got 5 days to be a voter, so make a plan. And between now and Tuesday, August 13th, be a voter.
Do that. Myvote.wi.gov for more. Luke Mathers, thank you very much. Have a wonderful
day.
Always
a pleasure, Pat.
Mr. Bach, we'll see you at Matt and Air on Air in 2 little hours. And thanks to all of you for being part of today's extravaganza as well. Our usual Friday guests coming up tomorrow, Kia Vakil and Jim Santel and Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.